I'm Tanzina Vega, and you're listening to The Takeaway. Over the past few weeks, we've been having conversations about the state of the media in the United States, from the toll of covering protests for black journalists to how public media is reckoning with its own systemic racism. And today, as we continue our coverage of the 30th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act, we're going to look at how journalists have been covering the disability beat and whether or not that has changed in the decades since the ADA was signed into law. About one in four adults live with a disability in the United States, yet that's rarely reflected in our news coverage. And when there are stories about people with disabilities, they often perpetuate stereotypes. And that's something our next guest has written about for the Columbia Journalism Review. Wendy Liu is a news editor and reporter for HuffPost. Wendy, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Tanzina. Thanks so much for having me.
So in the 30 years since the ADA has passed, have you seen notable change in how people with disabilities are covered?
Yeah, so I think that we've seen some progress, some slow progress, but it is getting better. One thing that I've noticed that news outlets are doing better at is using neutral language. So, for example, instead of using terms like wheelchair bound, they say a person who uses a wheelchair or a wheelchair user, we're moving away from a term like the disabled, which kind of takes the humanness away from the person who actually has the disability, to people with disabilities or disabled people. And either one of those works. People identify differently. Some people prefer identity first language, centering the disability as part of their identity, or people with disabilities, which is person-first language. And there's still some discussion, even just day-to-day, about which terminology is better. And essentially, everybody feels differently. And it's always important to ask how that person identifies. Something else that we've been seeing a lot over the last 5 years or so, and it's still prevalent, is inspiration porn, which is it's a genre of reporting where people with disabilities are kind of treated like inspirations for doing really simple tasks. And it's part of this trend of only writing about disability in good news, like quote positive news. And that's something that it's very surface level and often takes space away from stories that go deeper into things like access and opportunity, and can also perpetuate a lot of stereotypes.
There's a common trope in media coverage of people with disabilities called, quote, inspiration porn. I want to hear a clip about this from the late comedian and disability rights activist Stella Young. And this here is from a TED Talk that Stella gave in 2014.
And I use the term porn deliberately because they objectify one group of people for the benefit of another group of people. So in this case, we're objectifying disabled people for the benefit of non-disabled people. The purpose of these images is to inspire you, to motivate you, so that we can look at them and think, well, however bad my life is, it could be worse. I could be that person.
Wendy, how common is that kind of news coverage?
I would say it is still quite common. Oftentimes it starts in local news outlets, small communities that cover this, and then sometimes these stories kind of explode, and then bigger news outlets like CNN will pick it up from the smaller outlets, and it starts going viral online. So we still see that quite often, I would say.
What about the role of language in disability coverage? It's something we think and talk about a lot here on the show. How should journalists be thinking about language? You mentioned a little bit about asking people how they prefer to be identified, but are there other words and phrases that do more harm than good?
Yeah, so I would say, like I said, wheelchair bound or calling people the disabled is really harmful because it really implies that people with disabilities are just kind of stuck automatically. Like, for example, like I said, with wheelchair, when you say wheelchair bound, that sort of implies that that person is just stuck and the wheelchair is keeping them tied down, when actually it provides freedom. And so I think language like this can be really harmful, and it's sort of viewed from the sense of the non-disabled perspective, that being disabled or not healthy, having health conditions, is automatically like not the norm, when in reality, people with disabilities are an actual community with its own history and culture, and there's pride in being disabled. And I think a lot of our language doesn't quite reflect that oftentimes.
Is there anything that journalists should be doing better in their disability coverage?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say actually talking to people with disabilities, I think so many stories about disability rely on interviews with parents or caregivers or their teachers, friends, mentors. And of course, those perspectives are very important and have their place and time. But every story that's about disability needs to have some voices from actually disabled people. And so that can give us some agency and narratives about our own community, and ensure that it provide those perspectives from our own like lived experiences. So another thing I would say is, for example, for one other thing about that was making sure that we provide disabled voices so that those stories are told with more complexity and sensitivity and depth from the get-go.
Wendy Liu is a news editor and reporter for HuffPost. Wendy, thanks for joining us.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me.
And if you have suggestions on how we can improve our coverage on The Takeaway when it comes to disabilities, let us know by giving us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.